Elias Tulk had driven in silence across the plains, avoiding the ruts wherever possible. Baron Tad Hutter sat next to him in silence. Tulk was setting a fast pace as the leading driver, and the sec men who sat in the rear of the leading wag were keeping a close watch on the wags that followed.
Shit, man, slow down! Those dudes back there are really having problems keeping the pace up!
Not my problem. Not my fault if the bastards can't drive.
But, Baron, we don't want to lose them!
If they can't keep up, then they've got no place on my sec.
The two sec men in the rear of the wag exchanged puzzled glances. It didn't make sense. If they lost the rest of the party, it would put the Baron at risk if they arrived at the rendezvous point alone and found the opposing force there in full. Neither, however, felt brave enough to question Hutter on this. Instead, they lapsed into an uneasy and uncomfortable silence of their own.
So what do you think you can prove, boy?
Who says I want to prove anything?
I'd say you want to prove something pretty badly. You've never spoken to me like this before. No fucker with any sense has.
Maybe I've lost any sense I ever had. Maybe I've got some for the first time, and maybe you should make your mind up about that, huh?
Hutter narrowed his eyes and didn't speak for a while. He studied the whip-thin sec man beside him.
Can't think of anything to say now?
No. If I thought it was possible, I'd say you had some plan to get rid of me. But I can't work out how the fuck you'd manage that on your own, and you sure as shit wouldn't get any of the others to join you. I've made sure of that, making them all shit scared of each other more than me.
As he drove, Tulk's mind wound back to the moment when the wreck party had taken him back to the redoubt. It had been some months after he had begun spying, and it had taken until this point for him to become truly accepted, and any suspicions that the Hellbender still held had been allayed. By night, he had left the Ville and had met with the wreck party at a point several miles from the edge of the Ville. His cover story to explain his absence was that he had been conducting a survey of the outlying areas to plot any points from where the Ville could be attacked. To this end, the wreck party, which already knew the area, gave him a detailed map of the area surrounding the Ville that would only omit their own personal camping spots when on wreck. Armed with this and the wag he had used to leave the Ville, Tulk was able to cover his own back and make the time to follow them on the day-long journey to the redoubt, where he had first met Corell. The memory of the gaunt man's unsmiling visage as he explained his personal, and therefore group, mission still haunted Tulk. He had no idea of Corell's own personal history, but he knew from his own experience what it could have been. After the briefing, Tulk had returned with the personal knowledge that Corell was probably as insane as Hutter, just in a different way. But this was, in a way, irrelevant. Corell's madness would serve Tulk's own revenge, and that was priceless. The knowledge that it was nearly time filled him to bursting, but mindful of the still puzzled Baron beside him, he allowed himself only the expression of putting his foot down on the gas and coaxing more speed from the wag's protesting engine.
Aisha, this isn't going to make things any better for us. We'll just get beaten before they screw us and it'll hurt.
Shut up, Anita.
Who the hell do you think you are, sending us to our deaths and...
Aisha told you to shut up, you old bag, so shut the fuck up.
Nice work. Any more of that shit and I probably would have slit her throat as well.
Anytime, babe. I hope you got some sort of plan, because I don't know what the hell to do next.
First thing is to get their blasters.
Aisha moved down the middle of the wag to address the sec men in the front seat.
I want you limp dicks to hand your blasters over the back, holding them by the business end with your fingertips only. I don't want you getting any ideas, or else my friend here may just blow your motherfucking head off, okay, boys?
Yeah, no problem.
The sec men complied. An H&K and Walther PPK hand blaster were soon in Aisha's possession. Gathering the blaster, she pulled back and stuck the Walther in the waistband of her jeans. The H&K she held onto, looking around at the women on the benches. Most of them still looked like Anita, downtrodden and resigned to their fate, fearing it would now be worse because of her actions. But a couple of the women had brightened considerably, and although they had nowhere near Claudette's courage, whose hold on the Uzi was rock steady, they could be useful.
You, what's your name?
Adrienne.
Consider yourself recruited to our Women's Liberation Army.
Aisha tossed the H&K to her new recruit.
Know how to use that?
It's just another blaster. Give me a second and I'll figure it out.
The sick man riding shotgun spat onto the floor.
Don't think you bitches are gonna get away with this. Oh, you bitch!
Claudette's Uzi barrel caught him in the mouth and nose, which gushed crimson. Before he had a chance to react or even register the agony he felt, she had stepped back out of range and resumed her position, with the blaster trained on the pair of sec men in the front of the wag.
Don't you think at all, asshole. That way you may not get chilled yet.
Nice work. Listen, just who are you, girl?
Name's Claudette. I used to work in the kitchens for the sec, and I know what fuck pigs they are. And you still ain't said if you got a plan.
I got a plan, Claudette. Don't you worry about that. By the way, I'm Aisha.
Hell, you think I don't know who you are? You're the prize package. Gotta say, girl, that was a smooth move you pulled. But you better have a good plan, because I can't see how we'll get out of this alive. And if I was you, knowing what I know, I'd chill myself now and save the humiliation and pain if we don't get out and Hutter gets his hands on you.
No worries about that. We just need to stay on course to the rendezvous and wait.
Claudette didn't look around, preferring to keep her eyes firmly fixed on the sec men, but Aisha could feel her disbelief.
Girl, tell me that you're shitting me.
I'm telling you straight. There's going to be an ambush on the two convoys by a group that has as much reason to hate my father and Hutter as we have. And they're armed and ready for a firefight. We're safe as long as we keep these assholes quiet.
How the fuck
are we... It doesn't matter now. The only thing that does matter is that we keep this wag rolling and no one gets any notion that anything is wrong until we reach the meeting point. And then it'll be too late.
It's risky.
What ain't? I mean, what else can we do? If we break ranks and try to get this wag to run for it, they outnumber us in wags and firepower. All we can do is sit tight and wait.
Okay. If that's the way it's got to be, then that's the way it'll be. I just hope we can carry it off, babe.
Me and you both.